You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Snap. The kick. It's been blocked again. Oh, my. It's been blocked again. It's going to heave one kick down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone. It's a touchdown. And the Gators have won the game. Tyree Cleveland. Oh, my. I can't believe what I just saw.
Dropping back to throw. Pops and fires the ball. Over the middle.
Department. He comes back. Say goodbye.
Amon Black in his final game as a Gator takes it all the way home and sends Urban out the winner.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Girls, ladies, and gents, it's national sign, early sign-in day, Stadium Miguel, not the same corner. Same corner, not the same time. What's up, Dan?
What's up with it, brother? It's good to see you.
Likewise, man. I love that backdrop, bro. Look beautiful, man.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Yeah, no, it's a early national signing day here. We previewed this a little bit on Monday's show, and then obviously there's been a lot of rumors, there's been a lot of speculation, you know, Corey, I think there's a lot of people that are going to say, hey, a little bit disappointed in maybe how the day went. But let's talk about it holistically, because I think it's important to remember is that National Signing Day is just the day that they sign, but doesn't take away from the hard work that the staff has done to get up to the number 10 class on 247 or the number 11 class on 3 and the top class in the state of Florida. So, Corey, what are your thoughts, brother?
I mean, overall, solid class. I know, like, there's a lot of bro. I had some heat. Yeah. I had some trolls. I'm up to 2 a.m. editing, getting my trolls lined up for Georgia, Oregon, and everybody, man. And I know there's some letdown with some guys that came on as of late that we got hyped up for. But man, overall, good class, man. This class was in the 50s. All of us on the show got put on the jumbo screen a little bit. With our takes and our opinions about the staff and how we thought these guys would close if they kept the job. We were in the 50s. They put us out of the weeds, man. Just an overall good job. They kept recruiting throughout the process. I think the class is well balanced. There's a couple more pieces out there I think we have a shot at. I don't know if we're going to land them. I would love to get Solomon Thomas to finish out that offensive line class. But, you know, in the trenches on both sides of the ball, solid. Secondary, yeah. Super solid. Mm-hmm. Linebacker class, solid. Running back class, solid. Receiver class, solid. Like, yeah. I don't think there's a whole lot of misses, man. Tight end is okay, but we don't use the tight end position a whole lot. But, yeah. You know, top to bottom, we'll get into who our favorites and, you know, sleepers of the class and all of that stuff. But top to bottom, a very good class. Another take that I have, too, it's just different now. So even if you finish top 10, it's not like recruiting classes in the past where you just – in the dumps because there's no other way for you to supplement. Now, you know, we still got a lot of funds that we didn't spend. We didn't spend all Billy Bob bread. All of it didn't get spent. Dan Lennon and the boys had some other plans out there in Oregon. So we didn't get to spend all the bread. So we can still get in the portal, get active for the spots that we need for immediate impact next year. But solid class, man. Kudos to the staff for closing and getting these guys, and, you know, a lot of flips. And we flipped from some solidified programs, Penn State, Tennessee, Texas, like we went and got some guys, man. So just flowers to the staff for closing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you look at the whole of the class and who you beat out, especially for the top ranked guys. Those are the best of the best, right? And you're not going to win every battle. I know that we want to win every battle. And I know that there's some fans that are disappointed about some players that they didn't even know were on Florida's board until maybe yesterday evening when some information dropped and leaked out, or this morning. And to blame writers and everything else, but this is all fluid, right? I mean, we talked about it yesterday, Corey, you and I did, about, you know, where Florida thought that they stood, and things change, right? And that's it. They've also changed in Florida's favor before, right? There's people that have been crystal balled to other schools that ended up at Florida, or there's people had no idea how close they were to flipping and still ended up at Florida. So, you know, I know that there's some disappointment, and there's always going to be disappointment, but I think you have to look at this class and you have to look top to bottom. Where did they fill the gaps that they had? Are they elevating their talent? Does the quality of the talent coming on campus look like it's going to improve the roster? And then you go fill the rest of it with guys in the transfer portal and guys that can make immediate impact here at the University of Florida. So I think we have to start with the top of the class here, Corey, and we'll kind of move our way down. Obviously, as we get further down the class, we'll probably talk a little bit less. Do you have something to say?
I said, let's do it.
So obviously, Vernell Brown, your highest ranked recruit there, a legacy to University of Florida, just going to be an incredible ball maker. I know a lot of people are upset about Dallas Wilson going to Oregon, but I think that you've got a top flight playmaker here in Vernell Brown the third. I think he's a guy that's going to have an opportunity as a freshman to make an impact at UF. What are your thoughts there, Corey?
Vernell Brown is just a playmaker. You know, I wanted an X with more size. We needed receivers. We got some size receivers as well. With we'll talk about Nashon a little bit later. But Vernell is just a guy that I think, if it wasn't for the Trey Wilsons and other guys at his spot, you know, we'd be saying he's a day one starter, right? But he does have the talent to bring us an immediate impact. A guy you just want to get the ball in his hands. Come from, you know, a football family, so the work ethic is there. You know, the pedigree is there. He's at the top of this list for a reason.
Yep.
I think he's the overall best player in this class, and we beat some dogs out for him. The whole country mm-hmm. wanted him, so I'll take it. I don't care if it's because of his dad. I don't care how we get him. Get him. You feel me?
Yeah, ranked as the 45th best player in the country, the number 9 wide receiver in the country in the composite. All the way up to 247 has him ranked as the 6th best wide receiver in the country. So, again, a guy that everybody wants. No matter that he's a legacy, he's a guy that's going to chart his own path. And, you know, that's a great guy for the top of your class there. Probably nearly a 5-star overall there. We talked to Drake Stubbs on Monday. That's a huge flip from the University of Miami, who, you know, got a little decimated today. But that's a huge get for the Gators out of Mandarin High School. Number 58 player in the country, number 4 safety in the country. Again, a guy that Florida's helping to rebuild back that DBU mentality that they had in the early 2010s that carried over. And we've lost a little bit of that. And bringing guys in like Stubbs is going to be a huge impact for the Gators. And I love the way he plays. I love, you know, his ability to seek out the ball. I love his ability to make a hit. And obviously a super athletic kid at 6'1", 185 pounds. You know, again, that DB room is stacked, but he's going to have an opportunity to make it on the field, you know, as a freshman as well.
Yeah, we hanging out in Duval, man. Shout out to Eric, all the Duval, you know, listeners hanging out. I know Dan give y'all a hard time, but y'all carrying this thing right now.
Shout out to the 904, baby.
Yeah, they carrying the water. Yeah, 100%. Stubbs is just, and you look at the 2, 3, 4 guys, man, it's all DBs. You know, like you said, DBU vibes, but he's like a ball hawk on the back end, runs the tunnel in the alley very well. Physical, you know, could tackle. Will Harris is bringing football players into the Swamp, man. So we could talk all day about Stubbs. He was just on the show, but another great get. And you flipping from a hated in-state rivalry with Miami. So love it.
Yeah, and then the next is Ben Hanks. Again, another legacy there. Held off a number of schools for him, most notably Miami. I know that they're very disappointed that he signed with the University of Florida today. Was never in doubt. Florida felt very confident going into National Signing Day that he would be a Gator. And sure enough, he is out of Booker T. Washington, the number 69 player in the country, the number 11 cornerback in the country. That's brought down quite a bit by rivals. If you take in the other three, probably a top 10 player in the country at cornerback. Gators lost Jakeem Jackson to the transfer portal. They're losing Jason Marshall. Obviously, they've got some talent there, but there's going to be an opportunity for Ben Hanks to make an impact at the University of Florida. And, you know, his dad was a linebacker at UF, had a good career here, and, you know, hopefully he's able to chart his own course here as well.
Yeah, I mean, he has the interception record down there for a reason. Straight up baller. And I wasn't so sure on most of these guys, like once it got ugly during the season. There's a lot of Miami smoke about Ben Hanks. And even like as of late, there was a lot of people thought they could get him on campus. He never showed up down there on Miami's campus. But once we got close to the signing day, I felt a little better. But throughout the season, I didn't feel good on his recruitment. I thought he would probably be a flip candidate. And as a legacy, that would be, you know, ugly stain on his regime, but they pulled it out. And another guy that I think, you know, a lot of these guys on this commit list, if it's the Florida that Billy Napier showed up to, these guys would be like candidates to start right away, right?
Right.
But we have talent. So I think Ben Hanks has the talent to be a day one start at some program, but not our program, because we have some DBs in that room, man. Even if you saw Grimsley late in the Florida State game, he's going to be a ball player. So as we go down this list, there's a lot of guys that I think could possibly play early, but we just deep. We don't need them to play early, which is right. a good thing.
It's gonna elevate the room, right? If your floor is high, that makes everybody else that's closer to that floor have to elevate. And play better and play harder. So it just makes the room better and the room stronger. And, you know, I'm curious to see what that does for guys like Teddy Foster and other players that are going to be fighting for that, you know, third, fourth, and fifth, right? Yeah. So there's an opportunity for those guys to get better too. So bringing in and stacking that talent. But when you look at those guys right there, and then you add in Laganza Hayward, who flipped today. I guess he was committed to Tennessee, decommitted, and then just announced a couple minutes ago that he was going to enroll at the University of Florida. Florida really beat out Kirby Smart. There was a lot of smoke about Kirby Smart and what Georgia was trying to do. They really fought to get him in this class. But the number 81 overall player in the country, the number 9 safety in the country, On3 has him ranked as the 53rd best player in the country. So don't want to sleep on Laganza Hayward. Again, a guy that you probably didn't follow super closely, had a couple visits towards the end of the season, but that's a huge flip, not only from Tennessee, who's one of your biggest rivals, but then holding off Georgia. And now you have three guys that are in the top 80 in the country, top 10 overall in all of their positions. In your DB room, that just makes everybody better. And that's a hell of a haul for Will Harrison for that DB room. Not much else to say. Silk, I'm not sure if you got anything on Laganza Hayward.
Nah, I mean, between him and Stubbs, man, he's just the best pair of safeties, I think, in the country in this recruiting class, bro. He's going to be hard to find a better combo committed to any other, assigned to any other team, man. So Will Harrison is just in his bag, bro. He's carrying some water as well this cycle. He did what he had to do.
Absolutely. Checkmate.
Checkmate.
We talked about Jaden Woods a lot on the show on Monday. So again, a guy that you flipped from Penn State, a team that's going to make the college football playoff, a team that's consistently had great defenses, to be able to commit or get his commitment, pull him out of Kansas to end up at the University of Florida is a great get, number 116 player in the country. Then Ty Jackson, the 133rd overall player, ESPN has him ranked as their top linebacker in the country, number 13 linebacker in the country. So you're noticing a bit of a trend here, because then we'll get down to Jalen Williams. Man.
I got to say that before you move on. Just got to say that. You're moving past Ty Jackson without throwing out a 5'6". I gave Duval some love.
Oh, yeah. 5'6", shout out.
5'6", definitely the best player in the county. I think he could play a little star. He could play linebacker as well, but you could pencil him in as a star, maybe even a safety. He's a super athletic kid. So another good get, man, late in the cycle.
Yeah, got a bit of a surprise there, but the Gators grab another great linebacker to elevate that room. Probably could afford to put on, 20, 30 pounds in college, but as a guy that's going to make an impact at the University of Florida. Jalen Wiggins, a guy that Notre Dame, again, another team that's going to the playoffs, wanted badly. They've been pressing hard on Jalen Wiggins. That was their top guy that they were trying to flip in the country, the number 165 player in the country. I think was the first player committed to the University of Florida in this class, held him off for that long. I know there was some attrition in this class. A lot of people thought that he might bounce from Tallahassee. Notre Dame was after him really hard, like I said, but again, a dog in the trenches, and that's what's going to help elevate Florida to be the program that they want to be. 6'4.5", 270 pounds, a solid player. I mean, can't complain about anything thus far. So,
trench monster. It all starts in the trenches, man. So, very good get, man, and way to hold on. And it's hard to beat these teams because winning matters. Am I froze? I think I'm frozen.
You're good.
Look, all right, just on my end. But it's hard to beat these teams that are actually winning football games. That's another reason, like, I give these staff flowers, because you got 7 wins, and when you're recruiting these guys, we were under 500 or right at 500 for most of the season. So it's hard to keep these players engaged and in tune with what you got going on. So just to be able to beat out these type of programs that are heading to the playoffs or competing for the playoffs, being able to get these kids while we're going to play for some random bowl game in Birmingham or in Jacksonville. It's impressive, man.
Absolutely. Moving down the list, Tavarius Dice, again, a guy you flipped from Auburn, 194 overall player in the country, number 18 at the offensive tackle position. Florida desperately needed some offensive tackle help to add to who they got from the class last year, including Jason Zandamella, who transferred in from USC as a freshman. So again, you're just adding people to the group. I would have liked to see more on the trenches. I would have liked to see a couple more on the offensive line, a couple more on the defensive line there. But, you know, Tavares Dice is a very, very solid player who at 6'4", 295 pounds, I think has a good career at the University of Florida. Again, wanted by a lot of schools. You beat out a lot of big and popular schools for him. Another solid player for the Gators. I mean, I don't know what else to say here.
Losing audio and everything, man. Freaky things. Let me refresh, brother.
All right, brother. I'll just move down real quick. Byron Lewis, again, the flip from Florida State, 5'10.5", 205 pounds, runs well, is one of three running backs in this class. And we'll talk a little bit about that. You've got some injuries at the running back position in this group. So I think that he's going to come in. He's probably going to be a guy, him and Waltez Clark, two very different types of running backs. I know Florida seems to be going after kind of your more bruiser running back and then kind of your more your speedster, kind of the way that they did with Jaden Ball and Kanan Daniels last year, and then what they're doing this year with Byron Lewis, Waltez Clark, and then we'll move on. Tremel Jones, 6', 195 pounds, a 4-star quarterback, again, flipped from FSU, also from the 904, pardon me, Mandarin High School, teammates with Stubbs over there. I know there's some question marks about Ryan Montgomery at Georgia. There was some interest. There was some discussions backed off this morning. I know that there was a lot of things that he was thinking about. Really, you know, was almost fully back in with the University of Florida. But Ryan Montgomery from Findlay High School did, in fact, commit back to Georgia, or did sign his letter of intent with Georgia. So I know Florida is wanting another quarterback in this class. I know that they want some depth behind DJ Lagway. Tremel Jones is coming off of an injury, so don't know if we expect to see much out of him going into next year, but maybe a backup or a starter in two or three seasons. Corey, you back?
I think I'm back. How do I sound?
I think you're back. Good. I think you're back. Yep.
Okay.
We just went over Tremel Jones and Byron Lewis.
Okay, yeah. Tremel's a good get. Like, you steal him from a rival as well. Lewis, running back room, we got three in this class. So it's just full. The competition there is going to be crazy in the spring. That's a room I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out this spring, because I think somebody ends up exiting. We'll talk about that on next week's show.
Yeah.
But the competition, you're just breeding competition. Like you said, bro, like I said earlier, another kid. I think Waltez is another kid who I think, You put him out wide. When you cut on his film, he's getting out wide and doing some things at receiver. Like, he's just a super athletic kid. But the running back room, you got guys that if you need it to, if guys go down, like we've seen with Etienne in the past, mm-hmm. like we've seen this year with Ball, they get running backs that could play right away. And I think two of these running backs, outside of the injured back, I think those guys could play right away if called upon.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Joseph Mbachu, again, we're kind of running through these guys' names because we've kind of talked about him before. 259th best player in the country, number 21 defensive lineman in the country. Has only played football for one season, so I think that there's still a bit of a learning curve. 6'4", 280 pounds. I think that he's a guy that is maybe a redshirt candidate his first year as he learns the position a little bit more, gets the fundamentals down, but you can't teach size, and he has that, and was committed to Texas, had the opportunity to go there, did not have his offer pulled, decided to come back to University of Florida. Because this is where he felt like home was. It was his first major offer that he got, or one of the first major offers that he got. He comes back home last week and then signed today. I do want to get into Nashawn Montgomery, a guy that I know that our friend Ahmad Black is very, very high on, 6'1", 165 pounds, the number 273 player in the country, the number 40 wide receiver in the country. Rivals has him, and ESPN has him ranked as the 11th best wide receiver in the country, and Rivals even has him as the 61st best player in the country. Hold off Louisville, end up with a huge bag being offered to him, still decides to come to the University of Florida. Corey, I know that you're excited about Nashawn Montgomery, but that was a huge, huge get for the Gators.
Yeah, he took some late visits to Bama. Me and Ahmad talked about him in person on the phone. He's just a football player. I know we get caught up in the stars, and we wanted the Dallas Wilsons and the Frenches, but the guys we got on board are elite guys, bro. Don't let the rankings fool you. Like, Montgomery, Vernell Brown, these are kids that can go make plays. They can go 0 to 100. They can take the length of the field at any point in time, man. So don't get caught up in all the hype. I want Dallas Wills too, but this kid here is a football player, bro. We're going to get in the portal and get us another receiver to get us some immediate impact. But a straight-up dog, bro, out of Dade. You know, you get the best two players out of Dade. Are you doing something? I know we made some complaints about not, you know, hanging out in South Florida a little bit. We go get a kid out of the 561. We get some Broward kids, and then we also get some Dade County kids, man. So I'm excited about Montgomery for sure.
Absolutely. Waltez Clark from well, that's interesting. Nashawn Montgomery's from West Palm, but plays at Miami Central. Corey, you know anything about that?
I don't know him personally, but yeah, a 5'6" kid, you know, playing down there in Dade, but he's the best kid, I would say, like skill position wise, I think in Dade County, man. You know, we could debate about, you know, who other people may like, but I like him as a top kid down there, man.
Yeah, and especially Florida's really struggled in Dade County over the last decade or so. I know that they got Andy Jean. They've gotten a couple of guys out of Miami-Dade. Got Booker T. Washington who was at Ben Hanks is out of Booker T. Washington. So a couple guys from Dade. I don't even know the last time. If one of you guys want to look, when was the last time Florida signed two players out of Miami-Dade County? It's been a long time at the University of Florida. So then going to the 813 Plant High School, South Tampa. Waltez Clark, the number 331 overall player in the country, the number 22 running back in the country. Again, it's going to probably be your more lightning to your Byron Lewis's thunder. Don't sleep on this kid. This kid is a good returner. He's very athletic, very fast, 6'5", 190 pounds. So definitely not a small kid, even though he's fast. On a 4-star everywhere, except for on 3, they have him as a 3-star unranked. But I think that Waltez Clark is the guy that's going to surprise you.
Yeah, that's my sleeper of this class, man, and he shouldn't be a sleeper. I like Lewis a lot at running back, the American Heritage kid, but I like Clark better. You come to film, like I said, Billy liked to throw, and it annoys me sometimes when he throws who's that running back, when they send him out wide. You know, that drives me nuts sometimes. Like, why are you putting a running back out there like that on the SEC corner? But he's a guy that could go out there and line up wide and cause a cornerback some havoc. He can run slant routes, go routes, fades. I've seen this all on film. He could do it all. And also at the running back position, like that 6'1" frame, when he fill that out, once he get in college, he's going to be a monster, man. But that's my sleeper of the class.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to ask you your sleeper was at the end of going through this. Stephon Shivers, defensive lineman, 6'4.5", 380 pounds, previously committed to Georgia, the number 473, third overall player in the country from Brentwood Academy in Tennessee, right outside of Nashville there. You know, 6'4", 380 pounds, big guy, going to probably end up shedding a couple pounds here at the University of Florida. I think he plays strong. I think he plays mean. I think that there's some work on the technique that he can do, but again, a solid 3-star for the Gators. Micah Jones, tight end, 6'4", 250 pounds. Be honest with you, Corey, we've not talked about Micah Jones, I don't think, once on this pod, maybe other than announcing that he committed. You know much about Micah Jones? I know the staff's excited about him.
Nah, I haven't really checked a whole lot about him. You know, like, I haven't watched his film, so I don't want to get on here and lie. So I don't know a whole lot about his game. And we don't use a tight end a lot in this offense, so I wasn't enthusiastic about even going to check his film, brother.
Yeah. Jahari Medlock, 6'5", 275-pound offensive tackle, previously committed to Cincinnati from Charles Drew High School in Atlanta, number 591st player in the country. Miles Johnson, the linebacker, 6'1", 220 pounds, 692nd player in the country. There's a lot of people on staff that are very, very excited about Miles Johnson. ESPN has him ranked as the 11th best linebacker in the country. They think that this is their most underrated commitment at 6'1", 220 out of Brewton, Alabama. Again, a guy whose film I only turned on this morning, or yeah, you know, the highlight film. I don't get access to their full body of work, but highlight film looks like a good hitter, looks like he's super athletic. But again, I know the staff's pumped to get Miles Johnson on campus. Wide receiver Moise Tunkara, I think he goes by the nickname Megatron, 6'3", 195 pounds, flipped him from Arizona, the number 694th overall player in the country. Corey, I know you're high on Moise.
Yeah, I love his game. I love everything about it. Just top end speed, size. I don't think this, like, when you start getting into this part of the commit list or the sign list, you start to get the projects and guys that got to go through a little developmental process. But I don't, I think he contributes fairly early, bro. He got a good film. If you cut on the film, bro, there's sometimes they're bracketing him with like three different guys, you know, in Texas. He's not playing in some chump conference in Connecticut or something like that. He's in Texas in big boy football. And when you cut on the tape, there's two, three people that's trying to stop him from going up top, man. So, and he's still getting the catches. So they bracketed him, and he's still balling. I think it's a very good find in the recruiting and eval process. And I think he's a kid that's going to contribute fairly early. Sophomore year, I think he'll be getting plenty of burn.
Yeah. Chad Gasper is a third running back in this group out of Fulshear, Texas, out of Katy Jordan High School. 5'11", 195 pounds, missed his senior year due to injury. I think that there's some concerns about his ability to even play next season or at least practice this season. So don't know if you should expect much out of Chad Gasper next season, but again, 734th player in the Daniel Pierre-Louis is your final, player in the front 22 there. Interior offensive lineman, 6'4", 290 pounds. Flipped him from Florida State a couple of weeks ago. Evan Noel, the number one kicker in the country, previously committed to Mississippi State. He does sign. And then Hayden Craig, who's listed as the seventh best punter in the country, also commits to the University of Florida. Noel's out of Mississippi and Hayden Craig is out of Maine. The Gators also grabbed a long snapper, Mac Mulhern, that's in that group. And then they're still waiting on Tayshawn Gelsey and Jeremiah McLeod. Jeremiah McLeod, I know, is being targeted pretty heavily by Georgia right now and Tayshawn Gelsey by Florida State at present. But the Gators are still waiting for their two offer letters. Corey, with that being said, what are your overall thoughts and where do you think that the Gators can, where do you think they need a target in the transfer portal? Oh, lost him.
I don't know what's going on with
this. Yeah, no, you're good. You're good.
Everything.
What? Where do you think the Gators should go and target with this in mind? In the transfer portal.
In the portal, it's a offensive line, of course. You know, I think we need to get some tackles. Push Barber to that right tackle and get us a for sure left tackle. I think we're gonna end up losing a tight end. I know we got some X's already in the transfer portal. I think we end up losing the tight end. I wouldn't mind going to get another tight end, but I'd be fine if we just keep it. But we need a true number one wide receiver. I like Aiden Mizell. I like, you know, some of the guys we got on campus already. But we're losing our top two guys. You're losing Badger, and you're also losing DK. Mm-hmm. You know, our best receivers so far since this staff has been here have all came through the portal. Right. So there is some questioning of the development of the young guys. They're coming along slower than I would have thought, like the Andy Jeans, the Aiden Mizells. Those guys didn't pop as fast as I thought they would when they first signed. So I am questioning that a little bit, like the development process. They're not getting there fast enough. The guys we're bringing in the portal have popped. We need to go get it. And it's full of wide receivers. Go get me two receivers to go side Mizell because injuries happen. You need to be able to survive attrition in the SEC or in college football to make it to the playoffs. Injuries is just going to happen. And you got to be able to reload, you know, and be ready to fire off with the next guy on the depth chart. Pass rusher, I wouldn't mind getting one more. I think we're good there, but I wouldn't mind getting one elite guy. If there's some elite guy that's just out there, we got plenty of buyout bread right now. Go get me an elite pass rusher. And defensive tackle is what I'm most concerned at. Right. If Caleb Banks comes back, then I feel righteous and I feel good. But if Caleb Banks declares pro, then we got to go get two or three defensive tackles, in my opinion. We're fine at linebacker. I wouldn't mind getting one corner.
Do you think the Gators need another corner?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what – Devin Moore just haven't been healthy since he got here. I don't think he's had a full season since his junior year of high school, right?
Right.
So it's just being able to – having to count on him is just not going to be a thing. So I don't want to have to count on Devin Moore next fall. If he's here, I'm cool with him. I don't have any problem. I like the kid. But I think we need to go get a for sure corner out of the portal. I know there's some guys out there that are already hitting us up. Mm-hmm. There's some guys that won't end at the University of Florida. One of the guys on that Thorpe list. You know, he's a final like 10, 15 guys on that list.
Mm. From Illinois, the Midwest?
Yeah, a little Illinois player, you know.
Yeah.
Also a 5'6" guy. I know he's super interested. Grew up a Gator. Want to slide to Gainesville a little bit. Wouldn't mind getting him on campus, right? So give me a number one corner to go aside alongside the guys that I got. I think we got some killers in that room. One more safety. Wouldn't mind that as well. Asa Turner, like, you know, thanks for showing up. I don't know if they're going to give you another year of eligibility, but, you know, indeed, man, might be the place for you, my brother. You know, start shopping that thing around, try to figure out what life is going to be like next, bro. But, yeah, I think we got enough talent to go make a run. I think there's going to be a lot of playmakers that want to play with DJ Lagway. That's going to want to play in that defense. That defense was flying around making plays. It looked like a fun defense to play in, you know, once we got past those first three games. But, yeah, I think defensive tackle, we find that linebacker. Could be a couple defensive tackles, defensive back, a couple wide receivers, offensive line, and a quarterback for sure.
Yeah, no, at DB, I think that Xavier Scott, the guy that you're alluding to out of Illinois, is a fantastic player. I talked to a buddy of mine that's an Illinois fan. They are out there. He was not happy with that news. Said that he was probably their second best player on defense outside of the guy that just announced that he's going pro on their defensive backfield. So Illinois, strangely enough, has pumped out a bunch of DBs recently, and I know that that's a guy that would be very welcome at the University of Florida. I think you definitely desperately need some help at the defensive tackle position. Like you said, Corey, I would love to find one or two more starter-ready offensive linemen in that group. And then, yeah, I think that they need a possession wide receiver. Very, very curious to see this young crop of wide receivers and who's going to step up, right? We're going to be entering year three of Aiden Mizell. Do these new guys get an opportunity to make an impact as freshmen? We've always talked about it. The further you are away from the ball, the easier it is to make an impact early on in your career. But Florida, again, really relied heavily on DK and Badger this season. Florida really relied on Ricky Pearsall the season before that. Now they've got to go and prove, hey, the proof is in the pudding. You can come here and make the NFL. You have one of the best deep ball throwers in the country and a guy that's going to get better on the shorter intermediate throws in DJ Lagway. There's going to be a lot of excitement and a lot of people that want to play for him. You've got to find that impact player. And we're going to talk about Dallas Wilson. We'll talk about some of these other guys here in a minute, but that's what you need right now to make an impact at the University of Florida. 100%. I'm curious to see what they do at tight end, right? We haven't seen much out of the tight end position under Billy Napier. I don't think Arliss Boardingham is going to be here next year. So what does that room look like next year? Would love to get a possession and a guy that can, you know, block and open up that opportunity for University of Florida to play the tight end position a little bit more as a receiver rather than just a blocker. But if we can find that, I think that there's an opportunity for help there as well. But I think from a linebacking group, they're solid. From a safety perspective, star perspective, I think they're solid. Now it's a matter of elevating what the floor is in the room and then finding a couple starters that really help elevate the whole group out of that group. But I think now you can be a little pickier out of the transfer portal and really focus your energy on those that are going to make a big impact at the University of Florida rather than needing to just go find a bunch of people to fill spots because you didn't recruit well or you had too much attrition.
Yeah, even down the stretch, right? And we talked a little bit behind the scenes with the receiver position because I know there was a lot of decision-making, you know, going down as far as, like, where that money, that NIL money gets spent because you're dealing with a salary cap at that point.
Right.
We got Billy Bob bread, but it's not an endless bag of bread. And you also got to hit the transfer portal. So I was a little conflicted. If it wasn't Dallas Wilson for me, I know there was some Josh Moore smoke down the stretch. And it just didn't really add up on his end. And there's also some French, but I wasn't all in on those guys. I was more, give me Dallas Wilson or bust. Like, yeah. If you don't get Dallas Wilson, then go spend that money in the portal because you got 2 years here, in my opinion, to make a run, a legit run at a national championship. And I think you got to go get a receiver that can play right away and help DJ Lagway right away. And history has shown with this staff, receivers aren't coming in and playing right away. So while we would have got a Dallas Wilson, like, do we know if he would have played right away? We do not know that. And we only have 2 years right now, in my opinion, to make a real run at a national championship. Because once you get out of DJ Lagway, the quarterback talent is a drop-off. I'm not saying these guys are terrible, but it's a difference between generational talent and good talent. So right. we in this 2-year window, you got to go do what Florida State did when they got Coleman. And you got to go make those type of runs. Same thing with when they got Ward last year down in Miami. They went and got some playmakers around Ward, Sam Brown, and those guys. Same thing here. You got a quarterback, one of the top quarterbacks in the country that's going to be in the Heisman talk all offseason. Go get some playmakers right now. So I know everybody's losing their wigs about Dallas Wilson. I'm vibing because, bro, this is a 2-year window, and I'd rather go spend that money in the portal with guys that are cooking right now in college football that are in the portal. So I ain't tripping on it. It's all roster management, bro. You got to be able to fill in spots. If you're missing high school recruiting, it ain't that big of a deal.
I guess my thoughts here on Dallas Wilson, we got tipped off on Dallas Wilson a couple days ago, and we had a good long, hard, or a long conversation yesterday about Dallas Wilson. There was a lot of excitement at the University of Florida, and there was an expectation at the University of Florida that Dallas Wilson was going to be a part of this class. A guy had been committed to Oregon for 2 years. Oregon's the number one team in the country right now. They just flipped another 5-star quarterback. They are loading talent there at Oregon. And I know that there was some discussion that
totally different.
His mom had passed away relatively in the last year and a half or so. And the last visit that they ever took together was to Oregon. So there's some sentimental value there. But if it would have never really leaked out that Dallas Wilson was had a chance to go to the University of Florida right now, there would be no disappointment about Dallas Wilson not being in this class, right? I mean, people wrote off Dallas Wilson as a member of the Oregon class last year or 2 years ago when he committed. I'm not saying that it can't be disappointing and you don't want the University of Florida to get him, but there's also some things that happen along the way that you just can't prepare for, right? And sometimes conversations happen and you agree, and then somebody comes in with more money or a bag, and that sometimes falls in your favor, sometimes it doesn't. But I also don't want us to get disappointed about some things that leak out. And it wasn't just one person leaking out that Dallas Wilson was interested in the University of Florida. That was the general consensus, that there was very legitimate interest that he was going to go there. It didn't work out.
If it would have never
leaked out, nobody would have known.
It's not even a leak out. It's like this stuff is put out on purpose, bro. Like don't by any chance. If we get information as media content, that's what we are. Like the writers, the podcasters, the radio people, we're all media, right? And we're not ruining anything. Like the agents, you know, they wanted that information out there as well. It's a bidding, it's leverage. It's all part of the process, bruh. And even if the bidding, like it could have been him just using us to drive up the price at Oregon. But in all actuality, bro, let's come back to reality.
Yeah,
the number one team in the country with probably, you know, a top 2-3 coach in the country and Dan Lanning, you know, that's like having their Urban Meyer at that time. And in these days, that was a tough feat. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not finna lose my mind because we didn't get him. Because if I'm that kid, I'm making the same decision. All bias apart, like just sit your bias to the side, your orange and blue goggles, sit them to the side. Oregon is going to be in the playoff hunt every single year. Our coach is probably might not be here in 2 years. That's just the reality of it. So the kid made a good business decision, man. You can't be mad at that. We did what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to stay aggressive, trying to get kids like that local. They right there in Tampa. Staff did what they were supposed to do. The boosters did what they were supposed to do. I was glad to hear that the bags was out. People trying to troll and joke. Oh, I thought we wouldn't be outbid. Who says we was outbidded? We might have matched. We might have had more money, but there's other key factors into all of this. The kid grew up an Oregon fan too. Like I was doing some digging on my trolls. I was setting my trolls up, right? And I'm editing some nice videos for this troll. And I'm looking at the videos and he's saying like he grew up an Oregon fan. That was his lifelong dream, was to go to Oregon. I found that crazy for a kid out of Tampa. But we haven't been winning like that.
I was just going to say, think about being 17, 18 years old and you rewind that to when you're a child. They got the cool uniforms. They've been winning for as long as he's been alive, right? Yeah. I mean, you have to go back to like Joey Harrington to the last time that the Ducks weren't near the top, right? And they've always had an electric offense. They've got a great environment out there. I mean, I think Oregon is a interesting place to live. And, get used to wearing your raincoat, bud. But other than that, like it's got a hell of an environment out there and they've got the support. And it's not like you lost them to Western Kentucky,
Oregon taking everybody work.
No offense to Western Kentucky,
Oregon is taking everybody to work. Good Georgia, it don't matter who it is right now.
They flipped they flipped a five-star receiver or a quarterback today. They flipped what's his name from Ohio State, Alford today.
Gavin Nix from Miami.
Yeah, Gavin Nix. I mean,
you
can't hate it. Yeah. So, and I know that there's some question marks on Solomon Thomas. I'm not going to expect him in this class. I think if you read any article about him, talk to anybody that's followed his recruitment, hard guy to read, a guy that doesn't really communicate with where he's feeling and where his head's at, and, you know, ebbs and flows, kind of rides a roller coaster. I do not expect him in this class. I know that Florida felt confident going into today. We'll see how that ends up. And, you know, again, these are negotiations and leverage, and, you know, sometimes crystal balls can be right and sometimes crystal balls can be wrong. So, but Solomon Thomas, I think, announces somewhere around the 5 o'clock hour today. So I don't think anybody else, other than the two guys at, in Gelsey and who else do we say hasn't signed yet? Gelsey and,
What about the we got the one defensive lineman that Georgia's trying to poach?
Yeah, McLeod, Jeremiah McLeod. Wow. So, yeah. so those are what we're waiting on. But all in all, I mean, solid class, not perfect. Definitely need to get some more talent in the transfer portal. Going to be an opportunity for Florida to go and do that. Signing day's changed, man. I mean, first off, it's not National Signing Day in February anymore. Now most of these kids are done in December. Oh, and there's Onis Konenberry.
He pushed back to February.
Yeah, he pushed back to February. He's a defensive back committed to Tennessee, three-star kid. I know Florida felt very confident going into today. I know that his heart's torn. He's been committed to Tennessee for quite some time now. So we'll see what happens there. But, I think that you can look at this class and say, hey, I wish they were a little bit better. But I think you can also look at it and say that Florida went and got some playmakers that are going to be impactful players for the University of Florida. I still think that there's an opportunity to go and maybe get one or two more guys in this class if they want outside of Konenberry to try to fill where there might be a gap. And those guys are going to be guys that are highly coveted and wanted by most schools that have some open spots on their team. But I think you can look at this class and say, hey, there's an opportunity for these guys to make a big impact at the University of Florida, and also feel, hey, if we want to be a top premier program, we need to get a couple more guys that are true impact players or those highly rated five-star guys. But it's hard to say that I'm disappointed with where Florida ends this national signing day.
I've had a blast, like the end of the season, watching how Lagway play, getting all these recruits, and we was getting some guys. We flipping some guys, bro. So I've had an absolute good time. It's good to see that the university, it looked like we care, and that's been the most depressing thing in the last couple of years since like the last couple of years of Mullins. It's like, bro, do they really care about football? You know, like. Seeing the type of recruits we were battling for was like, even if they were four-star, we were beating West Virginia for them. Like, we're not beating none of the top dogs. So I'm glad to see that the bags are out. Some of the kids that we were after, the Dallas Wilsons of the world, we know that ain't no small bag. So that bag's still there. You know, if we lose out on the boy that we were talking about now, Solomon Thomas, that's a healthy bag. That bag is still there. So you just take that bag to the transfer portal and go get proven guys. Because what I want to do right now more than anything is win right now with Lagway. I don't want to waste this talent. Cam Ward just wasted a year down in Miami and didn't get nothing. They got nothing out of it. So I want them to go spend this money, stay aggressive. I like how aggressive the staff were. They didn't fold and go settle for kids. They went out the top kids. They could have settled for some guys that were committed to Troy State or Texas Tech, like programs like that. No, they went out to like top kids. They still respected their board. They went out to the kids that they had high. So I want them to keep that same energy, bro, with the portal. You feel me? And I think they are going to do that, bro. I feel good about – we got some changes to make staff-wise.
Yeah.
But the talent acquisition part of it, I like how aggressive we are. I like the bags that we got out. It feels good, bro. You know, we didn't get everybody we wanted to today, but we still got some talent to go get.
Yeah, no, I think that you can look back and say Florida flipped – 70% of the guys that are committed to this class and from some great programs. I mean, you saw what FSU did. They're going to finish a class in the 20s. What did they do? They went and flipped guys from, USF and West Virginia and FIU right. over and went and got some JUCO guys that were committed to some smaller programs. And we've seen right. that happen before, right? We've seen what that looks like. And you can say, oh, this class is similar to the way that Dan Mullen was recruiting. First off, completely different situation now with NIL. But if you look at who enrolled on campus and what those impactful players were over the last couple of years compared to what they were the 3 years before that, it's a night and day difference, right? So Florida still needs to get better. There's still an opportunity for them to get better in recruiting and in the transfer portal. And there is changes that are going to need to be made. And I think Corey and I can speak, you know, for ourselves here and say, there's still a lot of things that we want better out of this program. We still 100%. want an offensive play caller. We still want things to get better. We still want fundamentally more sound football. We are not 100% satisfied, and we've not changed from sunshine pumpers to doom and gloom to back to sunshine pumpers. But I think you can also look at this and say, hey, there is a great 3 weeks that the Gators have had with three wins, two over ranked teams, and then against one of your biggest rivals, and LSU is another rivalry game. You carry a lot of momentum going into the offseason. There's a lot of guys interested in playing at the University of Florida that are in the transfer portal now. So you can say, hey, I wish Florida did a little bit better, and we wish Florida did a little bit better. But there's also looking at this class and say, you know what? That's a really good class with some really good, impactful players at positions of need. And now Florida can go and cherry pick the opportunities that are the players that they wanted, opportunities they have with a generational quarterback at the helm as the number one QB going into spring camp. Like, there's a reason to be excited about the Gators. It's okay to be upset that you didn't get the big guy or the big flip that you wanted, but it's also okay to take off your orange and blue glasses and be like, you know what? It's a pretty damn good class as well.
Hell yeah. And also, like, just back to your Dan Mullen comparison, like, we never saw Dan Mullen. They get into the rankings, and we talk about who didn't make it on campus. Who made it to the field? Like, his guys just didn't make it to the field. He was still playing all of McElwain's guys, and when it was time for his guys to get on the field, he was ready to go. We're seeing Billy Napier guys on the field, whether it's running back, defensive tackle. He plays guys early. You can see he has that, the evaluations of trying to get guys that are ready-made football players. You always got to develop. But all, like, Dan Mullen had a bunch of projects, man. Even the guys that didn't make it on campus, when they got to other campuses, they didn't do anything. Like, it's just a false comparison. But they gotta make some changes staff-wise, and we'll see how Billy adjusts. You know, I want to give every man the opportunity to adjust. We're keeping them regardless. There's nothing's about to happen. And once they made that decision that, hey, you know, we're going to use the buyout bread to try to put more talent around Billy to see if he can win with more talent, and also around Lagway. You know, I'm just going to sit back and watch the process. So far, they pulled themselves out of the weeds, and I'm going to give flowers for that, bro, because I said they wouldn't on this show, yeah, and they did that. They're the top 10 class. So now I've watched them also go and get the Elijah Badgers, who was a top guy in the portal, and he balls out, right? And I've also seen him get the Caleb Banks out of the portal that nobody knew, the George Gums out of the portal that nobody knew, and they balled out. So I'm let these guys do their evals, work their process, and bring the talent in. But they just gotta bring in coaches and make some adjustments staff wise, and just let Lagway carry this thing a little bit, lead. But the talent acquisition process of it, I think it's gonna be okay. We gotta adjust the staff.
Yeah,
and we'll see how that plays out.
And I think those changes are going to come. I think you've got some contracts running up at the end of December. I think that there's going to be some real conversations and some real discussion about what that looks like. And when that stuff comes out, we will be the first to talk about it, the first to opine on it. And we try to look at everything from as many different objective angles as possible. We're not going to always sunshine pump, but we're also not going to say everything is doom and gloom because you didn't get a guy that you didn't know was going to be enrolling at the University of Florida potentially until yesterday, or the guy that's been committed to Florida State for multiple years, right? And if those things happen, those things happen. If they don't happen, then you got to go and ride with those that you do have, and you're going to lose a lot more recruiting battles than you're going to win. So at the end of the day, the University of Florida is going to hopefully sell itself, and you got to rally behind what Billy Napier and his staff are going to put together for next year. And if it doesn't work out, then we're back in this spot next year talking about, hey, what does the next guy look like, and what are we wanting out of them? So there's still an opportunity for Florida to get better with the transfer portal, and you know, I think you can look back at this and say, hey, you know, should they have ever been ranked 51st in the country? No. But the fact that they're a top 10 class in the country is pretty damn respectable.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the class ranking with high. This is high school recruiting. We've seen them, every team that has made a run have all, they haven't made these runs. Like, you build your programs off the high school class. That's, you want that to be your foundation. But once you got that foundation up, you got to, you know, throw some pieces around it to go make a run. All the teams that are making runs in the playoffs are going to get those top tier talents out of the portal. And that's what you got to use. You got to use the full, it's free agency. And I expect us to go get us another Pearsall, Elijah Badger type at receiver. We'll go get another guy that can scratch the field. We'll go get another DK. I need them to find another Caleb Banks, another George Gums. Like, fill me in about 3-4 more of those guys. And then we'll see what's up with it, man. And shout out to the media, social media team, man. Absolutely hilarious. Yep. Tweet that they used for the Tennessee flip from Hayward. Creme de la creme, man. Good job. Did we lose somebody? Somebody said Robert.
The smart decision, young Roberts. Oh, no. I think that's just an opine about Ron Roberts potentially being gone.
Oh, yeah. You know, some smoke out there.
Let's see here. I think that kind of brings us to end of the show, Corey. Anything else that you want to mention or talk about? National Signing Day is over. Very different than what it was a couple years ago.
Yeah. It's still fun. Like, the people that lose their mind, I think we lost Blue Orange again, bro. I know Nick came on here and said that Billy Napier flipped him, but he flipped back. He flipped back, turned into a negative account, and then Twitter got him out of there as well, man. Everybody, bro, it's just not that serious. Don't turn into the Miami fans that went crazy when we flipped Stubbs, man. These kids are going to make decisions. They're 16 to 17 years old, dog. Like, I had fun last night. I'm going to always have fun with this stuff, bro. Like, National Signing. My son asked me this morning, Dad, can I stay home? Nope. Cannot stay home, bro.
No.
You got to go to school, man. I'll let you know how it went. He was helping me edit videos yesterday, bro. But, you got to go to school. I had a good time today, man. I had a good time the last couple of weeks watching Florida football. Energy changed a little bit, man. But let's keep it positive. Let's keep it vibed out, man. You know, we finally got a win this season. We are not satisfied, like Dan said earlier. We're not pumping sunshine. We're not having parades, any of that stuff, man. But the DJ Lagway era is here. And I'm about to enjoy these next 2 good years of just really good quarterback play, you know, and a special talent, bro. They just got to put the talent around him. But that's all I got, man. Where we at? They said the what you call a commitment or the signing is live right now.
McLeod.
Is it live? What are they saying, chat? Let us know if it's live.
Trying to see if we can find this. Is it on?
Is he screaming somewhere?
Instagram? We'll stick around. Corey, who is... Let's pull up the recruiting class again. Who's the guy that you are most excited about while we wait for Jeremiah McLeod?
In this class?
Yeah.
I mean, Vernell Brown, bro. Like, that's the only player I think that's going to play next year in this class. They just said McLeod to Georgia. Somebody said that. I think Vernell is the only kid I think that plays next year. So I'm most excited about him. I think he touches the field in a lot of different ways. I think they find a way to get him the ball. We got some talent, but I think everybody else is going to have to wait around a little bit, wait their turn to get some production.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if Jeremiah McLeod did commit to Georgia or not. But, no, I think that you're right there, Corey. Let me go back to the team here. I think Lagonza Howard is a guy that most fans don't know about. I encourage you to turn on that tape because he's a very good player. Apparently getting getting some word here that the entire table for McLeod is Georgia, so maybe setting up for an epic troll here. I guess we'll find out here shortly on McLeod. Guys that I'm most excited about in this class, I think that Stubbs is gonna be, I think him and Hayward are two of your best safeties that you've got on campus. in a long time in a class. I think that they're both going to make each other better. I know that Brandon Spikes called him Reggie Nelson Jr. If you could get Reggie Nelson the fifth out of him, if you get that close to Reggie Nelson, I think you've got an absolute ball maker or a playmaker. I think Jayden Woods is a guy that I'm most excited about in this class. I think that he's an exceptional defensive end. He's going to make a great edge. I think that he's quick. I think he's fast. I think he's mobile. I think that he's going to be a guy that makes a big impact at the University of Florida. So that's probably the guy that I'm most excited about. And then I'm going to speak for Nick here and say that the guy he's most excited about is probably Hayden Craig.
Yeah, kicker.
The punter.
Of course, McLeod's staying, man. Like, you watch our defensive line play, he got to stay and be a part of these vibes, man. And if the whole table is Georgia, then that's just tipping his hat a little bit. Mike said Hayward is Reggie Nelson. He lied better than me, bro. I seen the tape. The kid could play. But Reggie Nelson is one of my favorite Gators all time. Reggie Nelson tape, even when he went JUCO, was absolutely bananas. And they called him a racer for a reason, man. Like, you just couldn't teach with that type of just coverage of the field. Like, you know what I'm saying? His coverage was crazy, bro. Like, you really could just put one safety. We would lock everybody up, man. You put one all the way back there, like he returning punts, and he would just lock shit down, man. But I do like the pass rush. I just don't know how early they get to play, right? Like, immediate impact. Like, that kid, like the defensive end, he could play, but that defensive end room is loaded. I don't know if he has to play early. Unless we have a lot of injuries, man. I like both running backs, but like I said, I think Waltez is going to be, you know, they got him as a three-star on some of these sites. Jayden Ballish, man, I think he's going to be one of those guys, you know, very versatile, can make guys miss, can line up a receiver, could do a lot of things I see in Billy offense, I see in that offense that he plays in. And then I'm going to go with my boy out of the 5-6-1, you know, I'm forgetting his name right now.
Ty Jackson.
I think he's just an absolute football player. I don't know if he stays at linebacker, but he can play, just get the sideline to sideline. He's going to be able to guard a slot receiver if you need him to. Running backs out of the backfield, he can fill holes in the run game. Just a utility belt, man, of just skills out of that kid, bro. This even the projects that they have, I see the potential in the project they have at the bottom of the list. It's just good evals, man. Solid emails.
McLeod, right, is a three-star. He is, or I guess he's a four-star, three-star and on three. I guess his ranking's really brought up by his rival's ranking. But 6'3", 285 pounds, you just stuff Georgia in a locker for him. I mean, Georgia absolutely wanted Jeremiah McLeod in this class. So between him and Hayward, you just beat out a team that has won the national championship twice in the last 3 years. So that's the perspective that we want to have. And we want, you know, we're going to hype up the guys that committed to the University of Florida, because there's some damn good football players that committed to the University of Florida. So one quick super chat here. Do we have an offensive coordinator wish list put together? I don't.
No,
And I don't know if that's something that we're ever going to do. Appreciate your super chat, Cedric. It's just, there's a lot that goes into that, right? And there's probably some guardrails around an offensive coordinator anyway, and what leeway is that person going to have, right? Because you have to look at the staff, and you know, if you bring an offensive coordinator, if you make a change at the running back,
Do we know they're really going to get offensive? I know we want one. Yeah, right?
Those are the rumors. You know what I mean? Those just like rumors. The bags were big, you know. So we're just going.
The bags were big. Here. Like behind the scenes, just talking to some people that are around the bags. I know the bag throwers a little bit, so the bags are crazy. I woke up this morning and told my wife the numbers that was being said. She was like, to high school kids? I was like, yes, to high school kids. I'm about to take that boy to run the hill tonight. But so the bags are out. But I don't, there's nothing solidified, man. I believe we're getting an offensive coordinator when we start firing people. If Rob sells out of here, then I'll put together a board. I'm with that type of talk, but I'm not going to put it together for no absolute reason. We just did a whole coaching board list for no reason. It was fun. I enjoyed it. It was a way to keep the show, you know, on the up and up when it was down times this year. But I'm not doing an offensive coordinator board until we start firing some people. And I don't want to call for people jobs on here, but there has to be a shift. We do need a play caller, man. And that's going to make me feel better about Billy Napier and changing, right? It's okay, you know, to to make mistakes, you feel me, or to not succeed sometimes. But how do you adjust? And if he's not going to adjust, then I'm not going to change my expectations on the fall, right? Just because we got Lagway don't mean he's just going to magically just carry this whole outfit. I got to see them adjust with, you know, how this outfit's being ran a little bit. So we'll see what happens administrative-wise, staff-wise going forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we'll end the show there. We appreciate everybody for watching. 4,500 of you are watching, so we appreciate that. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. We appreciate everybody for watching. Appreciate the Super Chats. We will see you on Monday at 7:30 p.m.
Go Gators.
And go Gators. Great day for the University of Florida. See you guys.